The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great.
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay, thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Hopefully we're going to make this day a little bit better for you. Me and Kevin, we're on until 2 o'clock today on PFW in Progress. Paul and Andy are out at the Combine. They'll be calling in at some point with a live report. Eric, in case you're wondering, got into a little fender bender today, so he doesn't know if he's going to make it. I'm sure, you know, knowing Kevin, knowing Eric, you know, he's probably going to need a few days to kind of unwind. It must be a traumatic experience for him. You know, so I doubt we'll see him today. But you never know. He could saunter in at some point.
For the record, Freddie, when I got my accident in 2011,
yeah.
I got knocked out cold, totaled the car, then came in and did the show.
I know, we could tell.
Yeah,
no, but
true.
Anyway, Kevin, you know, you're Eric, these things really affect him.
I know.
You know, but
I'm just messing. I hope he gets well soon.
I keep telling him, you can't draw and drive. You know, you can't do that. It's just not good.
You can do your own dentistry, but you can't draw.
Right. So I got that text, about 8:30 this morning from him saying that he didn't know if he's going to be in because of a car accident. He's okay. That's the most important thing. But we'll be here. Kevin's in the booth. And, again, Paul and Andy are out in Indy, and they'll be calling in. And, you know, some interesting things going on in Indy right off the bat. We'll get to them in a second. But first, the information. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's how you email us. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. If you want to call toll free, it's 855-PATS-500. That's in the continental United States. Actually, I think it might work in Hawaii and Alaska too. So that's how you get in touch with us. Looking forward to reading your emails, getting your calls today. It's a nice day here at Gillette Stadium. A lot nicer than it's been. It's in the 40s. We still got a couple feet of snow on the ground, but hopefully it's going to melt over. Some of it will melt over the next couple days, and we'll start moving closer to spring. I'm excited about, you know, what's going on here at the Patriots. They're building this new football operations area, expanding it for the coaches and scouts. And I think, you know, those kind of things are good. I think, you know, they'll come back in May, you know, move into their new offices, and it kind of gives them, you know, that new energy, kind of a new start. So, you know, when you move into a new office space, you know, at least at the beginning, you kind of get re-energized a little bit. And I think every once in a while, no matter where you're working, but especially in a pro football team where the hours are like, you know, there is no beginning and end. It's all day, every day. I think it's nice to have that kind of new look every once in a while, just to kind of infuse a little bit of energy. So it's nice to watch the progress here at Gillette Stadium as they build that. All right. I mentioned that, you know, right off the bat at the Combine, had some interesting things, and Joe Philbin right away was the first guy at the podium, the first head coach at the podium at the Combine. And, of course, the entire press conference was about the situation in Miami. If you've been on Twitter this morning, Philbin was he was trending for a while, and, you know, we didn't learn anything about it, except one thing sort of for me was solidified. And that is that, you know, going back to Hard Knocks with Philbin, I had the feeling when he was talking to the players on that show that he wasn't a guy that was comfortable as a head coach. It just wasn't sort of his nature. I think he was a good guy. I think he knows football really well, but I'm not sure that, you know, he's the type of guy that, you know, can be a good head coach. And that was sort of, I think, you know, validated today. I think he started the press conference off today kind of talking to the media as if he was trying to make a point to his players. You know, he was loud, not screaming, but, you know, really demonstrative and speaking at a, you know, with a raised level of voice. And to me, it showed nervousness. It showed, you know, a lack of confidence. And if that's the way he is with the media, I can only imagine how he is with his players when the pressure's on. You know, that's not to say he doesn't know football. That's not to say he's not a good guy. But that's the impression I got today. That's the impression I got a couple years ago on Hard Knocks. And it doesn't seem like he's gotten any better. And I think the crux of the whole press conference this morning was, I don't know who asked the question, but, you know, Philbin went to great lengths saying how he takes accountability for everything that happened, and he's going to make it better. He's going to work with everyone to make the situation at the Dolphins better. But then the question was asked, you know, if you were accountable all along the way, how do you explain Richie Incognito being elected one of the leadership, you know, being elected to the leadership committee of the Dolphin players? And he said he didn't necessarily have anything to do with it. He wasn't the one that did that. That was the players. Well, that really fell short. And if you read the tweets by a lot of the people that were there and people that watched and commented, fell short with them too, because you can't be accountable. You can't say that you're accountable and then let something like that happen. Richie Incognito is a jerk. He was a jerk now, and he was a jerk before all this happened. He came to the Dolphins with a track record, having been kicked off two college teams and having had numerous incidents that showed his character in the NFL, including the latest one a couple years ago with the Dolphins at that golf tournament. And it was after that golf tournament that he was named to that leadership committee. Now, we think leadership committee and we think, okay, these are the guys with the character on the team that, you know, from what I gather from the Ted Wells report, that leadership committee was nothing more than the people who were in charge of that kangaroo court that was documented in that player journal where all the fines were. And it just seemed to me that the guys who were on that leadership committee were probably just the loudest guys, the guys that looked upon as, you know, maybe these guys can enforce, you know, these kind of kangaroo rules. I mean, the rules, the stuff that was enforced, it wasn't like, you know, the real tough things that the head coach should have been involved with. It was stuff like, you know, being offside, really dumb things. You know, there were you know, a couple things about being late for meetings, but they were like, you know, $200 fines. But a lot of it was joke fines that were in there that, you know, basically reflected who the leadership committee was. And if Incognito was on that leadership committee, I can see why that whole journal was a joke. So on the one hand, I can see where Philbin wouldn't be involved in something like that. But on the other hand, he's got to know that this stuff's going on as the head coach. And so his explanation of, well, you know, I wasn't the guy who elected that committee, it really fell short. And it just shows that he can say that he's been accountable or is accountable for everything that happened, but he wasn't accountable during that time. Maybe that'll change. I hope it does. He seems like a nice guy. Again, he looks, sounds like he knows football, but I'm not sure that he's got that, I don't know, air of confidence that to lead NFL football players. And, you know, you don't have to be a Mike Ditka always yelling at players. You don't have to be Bill Belichick. You don't have to be Pete Carroll. There's different ways to be a leader of football players in the NFL. But I don't see Philbin having any one of those ways. He just doesn't seem to exude the type of confidence I want to see in an NFL coach. So that's just my thoughts. That's my sort of reaction to the Philbin press conference. If you want to send yours in, you can email them to webradio@patriots.com. That's fine. The other thing that I thought that came out this morning, the GM of the Steelers, Colbert, is on record of saying that he believes that this is the deepest draft that he has ever seen. And he says, you know, he's been around the NFL for about 30 years, in the drafts for about 30 years. This, for him, he believes this is the deepest draft he has ever seen. And he said he felt strongly about this draft even before the underclassmen declared, even with the senior class that were, you know, going to be available for the draft. Even with that, he thought it was a very, very strong draft. But now with the addition of the juniors and the underclassmen that have declared, he believes this is the deepest draft he's ever seen. You know, I think that's worth something. I think that comment is worth something because we haven't just heard it from Colbert. We've heard it from, you know, a number of people that this is a very deep draft. What does that mean for the Patriots? Well, I know a lot of you out there are saying, oh, here we go. Deep draft, they'll trade down because the value will be there in the second round. You know, maybe. But maybe other teams are looking at that as well, and maybe that gives the opportunity for the Patriots to actually move up. Remember, Bill Belichick has done both. And if you look at the record of his drafts, he's moved up just as much as he's moved down, just as much as he's stayed where he is. We just remember the moving down more because when it happens, we all throw our arms up. But, you know, he moved up to get Gerard Mayo. He moved up to get Vince Wilfork. He moved up, you know, to get last year, 2 years ago with Chandler Jones. So he does move up. And as he said, and other people in the organization have said, like Nick Caserio, it takes two people to make a deal. You know, if you want to move up and there's no one there willing to help you do that, then you don't move up. You know, these years that he's moved down, we don't know, but those years they could very well looked into moving up, but they just couldn't strike a deal, so they ended up moving down. You know, so don't look at, you know, the fact that this is a deep draft, meaning that the Patriots will automatically move down because of the value in the second round and third round. It could also mean that there might be more partners to move up. All right. Up on the phone right now, as promised, we've got Grandpa Draft calling in from Indy. What's going on, Paul Perillo?
How you doing, Freddie?
Good. I'm solo here because Eric was drawing while driving this morning and got into a little accident.
You got an accident on the way in?
Yeah. So, you know, of course, that's going to take a couple days to sort out.
I have no formal artistic training.
You know, I'm sure it's going to take a few days for him to unwind and you know, get over that incident.
Sure.
Yeah. So what do we got out there?
Oh, we're off to a rousing start. You know, I'm sure you heard about Joe Philbin today.
Well, I just went on a little monologue on that. Were you there for that?
Yeah, we were. They added him into the list. He was not scheduled to speak. I don't know if you were aware of that.
No.
So they added him in, and they put him in the leadoff spot, and he opened up and thought, you know, the fact that you already talked about it, I don't have to get into any of the details, but very interesting the way I thought he sort of opened with a Belichick-like monologue explaining how it was all on him, and then didn't really seem to take a lot of the responsibility from there for some of the individual things that were asked, but very interesting. The Miami thing, I don't think, is going away anytime soon. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, they're not done. I think he's on thin ice there. But I just got through talking about my reaction, and let me ask if you share this. I think when he started out, like you said, it was a monologue. It was almost like he was talking to players, like sort of trying to get a point through to a group of players instead of the media. I thought he was kind of like loud and, you know, we're going to make this right. And, yeah. And it was almost like he was trying to convince the media that, you know, they were going to do this and that he's a man in charge. And the more he did it, you know, again, you know, me reading between the lines and the whole body language and all that told me that this isn't a guy in charge or hasn't been a guy in charge. And that I've said it before, despite as much as he might know about football and be a good guy and all that, I'm not sure he's head coach timber. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I got the same kind of impression with his performance today. I thought that when he opened with the monologue, I thought it was pretty strong, but I thought he really petered out when pressed. And I think he had an idea of what he wanted to say, and that's what he opened with before he got any questions. And then I felt like, you know, once the questions started coming, he didn't really have the answers. So I think you're right. I think in terms of being a head coach, I think you have to stay strong, you know, in your message and stay on point. I think that's what, you know, one of the things that both frustrates us and at the same time we're probably, envious of is Belichick's ability to stay consistent and stay with the message, and nothing is going to, you know, get him rattled. Well, I thought Philbin today started off very strong and then did get rattled. And I thought it was really interesting for him specifically when he's talking about Incognito and how he wanted to get rid of him. He was asked a question, there was a report that he wanted to get rid of him when that incident happened at the golf tournament. And, he sort of sidestepped that. And obviously, he doesn't want to get anybody else in trouble there because I'm sure that was above him with Stephen Ross. So he's not going to call out his owner. But then he was asked a really good follow-up, I thought. Well, if you wanted to get rid of him, then how could you allow him to be on that leadership council? Not only he stays, but he's made to be put in a position of some power within your team structure. And he said basically that was not his doing. He honored the vote of the players who voted him there. And I thought that was a very weak answer. And I thought, like I said, as the questions came all, you know, continued, I thought his answers were weaker and weaker. And, you know, that strength that you saw at the start sort of disappeared by the end.
Yeah, and I think everybody that I read agreed with you that was the low point of the whole thing where, you know, he kind of pushed off the blame of that to the players and, you know, you just can't let that happen if you're the head coach, you know. But it just shows to me that whole leadership council thing was a joke. It was just that kangaroo court. And, you know, probably they figured Incognito, if there's anyone that can enforce these stupid rules that were in that journal, it'd be Incognito. So, yeah. You know, but still, it just shows how he didn't really have a handle on what was going on and, what was going on in his locker room. So anyway, so that was how it started out. But now that you're there and, you know, everybody else is there, what's the buzz? I know every year there's some sort of buzz and, you know, what are people saying? I heard Colbert, the GM for the Steelers, say he thought this was the deepest draft he's ever seen. Is that what people are saying?
Well, a lot of people are impressed with the depth of the draft. We saw Mayock say that before we even left. He said it was the deepest in 10 years. And you know, with all the underclassmen, it makes sense. I mean, you have more than 100 underclassmen, so that's going to create depth at every position across the board. But at the same time, and Colbert was very quick to talk about this, it also increases the possibilities of having some maturity issues with some of your players, and it can be very important, to nip those in the bud early, because early maturity problems stay with a guy and they can ruin careers, and that's what Colbert talks about with that stuff. And He was pretty impressive again. I thought, Andy got an interesting question into Steve Keim, who is the general manager for the Arizona Cardinals. Sticking with the Larry Fitzgerald thing, and, you know, Andy asked him about, you know, why does there just seem to be so much fixation between Larry Fitzgerald and the Patriots? Have you ever talked to the Patriots about Larry Fitzgerald? And he said, you know, when I heard those reports, I was just like you guys, and I wanted to know who I needed to fire, because no one from the Patriots has ever called us to talk about anything, anything regarding Larry Fitzgerald. So, and I think that we might be the only ones that got that in terms of the local guys. I think Andy put that up on the blog, so you can get the exact words of Kimes' quote from that and how Andy wrote that up, because Andy was in on that report and I was not. But I thought that was really interesting, the fact that he just came out and said blatantly that, you know, listen, this did not happen. There was no conversation between the Patriots and the Cardinals in terms of Larry Fitzgerald last year. So I don't know where that all emanated from, but I think we can put it to rest at this point. And the other thing that's kind of interesting, and I'm sure you talked about that, but, you know, Mike Lombardi being on our plane, I guess we can say that he is officially a member of the organization in some way, shape, or form. We don't know what capacity, but he was with us on the plane with Coach Belichick and Josh McDaniels and Nick Caserio, a couple other members of the organization.
Yeah, everybody was blowing up Twitter, tweeting that yesterday. Now, let me ask the seating arrangements. Were you in first class with Belichick, or you like back
in coach?
Well,
it was a seat between Belichick and myself.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't let me sit next to him in first class.
Okay. Did you ask him if he wanted some of your peanuts or anything?
Well, I asked him if there was anything I could do for him. He said, no, thank you. It was nice of you to ask. But, yeah.
A lot of people on this plane were going to the combat. I mean, seriously, was there a first class where, you know, Belichick and Lombardi were, or was everybody in the same cabin?
Yeah, there was a very small first class, and Belichick, I think, was up there. Caserio was with Lombardi. Belichick was by himself, I think.
Okay.
Those guys were at the front of the plane. It was a small plane, yeah. And probably half of it was combine-related people between the other, you know, Jeff Howe and Karen Kerrigan from the Boston Herald, Field Yates from ESPN, Boston.com, Ben Bowen from the Boston Globe, and, you know, in addition to the six of us from the Patriots.
Right.
When you add in the five or six Patriots coaches, that was probably half of the people on the plane. It was a very small plane.
Okay.
And I was in the very back, just to clarify. to really think that I was rubbing elbows with the coach.
Okay.
I was not.
All right. Now, so today is tight ends and who else?
Tight ends and offensive linemen. Obviously, the tight ends are on the radar. Andy's going to handle those. I'm going to handle the offensive linemen, probably looking for more mid-round guys, maybe some interior offensive linemen, guards, center types, say maybe fourth or fifth round, because I don't really think the Patriots would use a high draft pick on an offensive lineman at this point. But you might see a guard maybe in the middle round. And we also have specialists, but, you know me, Fred, you know.
Yeah.
There's only two phases of the game. There's not three.
That's right.
So we'll ignore that. We haven't really had many players yet. I think one tackle has spoken. It's been mostly coaches and GMs at this point. And it's very busy here. I think over 900 credentials, media credentials.
Wow.
Were handed out, and that's the most ever. And there's a lot of radio activity. We're going to have to talk to you about the possibilities of maybe taking PFW in progress on the road next year.
Okay.
There's a Texans radio station here. Steelers have a big banner out. So there's a couple of teams that are doing some stuff here. Maybe we should look into that and see if we can get a spot here on Radio Row.
All right. Well, I thought about that this morning because I noticed
that
Denver
was emailing you about it.
Yeah, the Denver Broncos actually they're going to stream out live on their website all of the podiums and everything like that, and they're the only team doing that. Even NFL.com isn't doing that. So maybe there is some content that we could do. You know, more. Not that you guys aren't going to be producing a lot of content while you're there. But, you know, maybe some more live shows from the Combine. Who knows?
Yeah, and it's one of those things that if we could get people maybe to be listening, it might be an easier way for them to sort of get a better knowledge of, broader knowledge, I should say, of all the prospects and whatnot as we're talking about things as opposed to specific stuff that we're writing about. So
right.
I think it might be an easier way to get more information out.
Yep. All right, so we'll be looking forward to a lot of stuff on Patriots.com today from you, and also Jackie Britton's out there.
I'm pretty sure that they spoke to Bill Polian a little while ago with a one-on-one for Patriots today. So I think I would look for that. Some of the players I'm looking over now are starting to come in for their interviews. So hopefully we'll get some more work up there, get some more information up there. The blog is hopping, though. Andy and I have been putting some stuff on the blog. Trying to get some Julius Peppers information up there. I found it interesting. I'll leave you with this, Freddie. Both Mark Trestman, the head coach, and Phil Emery, the general manager, they both used the phrase when asked specifically about Peppers' future in Chicago. Well, he's like the rest of us. We went 8-8 last year, and they both used that phrase. I thought that was interesting. I think there's a chance that he's going to go, that he's going to be available on the market. They're going to let him go. And I would have to think the Patriots would be interested. But, you know, we can play the same game that we play every year when guys end up being, available, whether or not the Patriots can get them. But it's always fun at this time of year to dream.
And Trestman actually came right out and said, we're going to be focusing on defense in the draft. You know,
defense-oriented draft.
Right. And the other guy that mentioned record when it came to decisions was Colbert, because somebody locally, Boston, asked him about Emmanuel Sanders and the decision to match the Patriots' offer. And he said, well, look, we were 8-8, so really none of the decisions we made last year might have been good. So we'll see about him.
I've certainly seen that Sanders would be available based on Colbert.
Yeah. So, all right. So we'll be looking forward to stuff. So where's dinner tonight?
I don't know what dinner tonight is. Tomorrow night's the big one at Elmo.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where we're going tonight. Maybe Buka.
Okay.
Buka Beppo.
All right. Well, have a good time. Thanks for the call. And we'll look forward to your stuff on Patriots.com.
All right, Freddie.
All right.
Try to hold down the floor without us.
All right. That's Grandpa Giraffe, Paul Perillo out there with Jumbo Hart, Andy Hart, and Jackie Britton from Kraft Sports Productions. So we'll have a bunch of stuff coming back at you later today and tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday from the Combine. That's a good idea. Maybe we should have Radio Row out there, Kevin. What do you think? You know,
that'd be really cool.
Yeah, because I know obviously NFL – on Sirius has their thing.
And yeah, it's not like we couldn't do it. We're quite capable
do it. We've done remotes before. So
it'd certainly be unprecedented access for our fans. That's
yeah,
for sure.
So we could do, you know, we could do 12 to 2 shows every day.
Yeah, and then we could probably do a wrap-up podcast at the end of the day,
something
too.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah, that we would maybe, we wouldn't do live, but we would upload it to the website that night.
Right. Yeah.
Just similar to the roster report.
Okay.
That's a pretty cool idea.
All right. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free. So we just heard from Paul Perillo out in Indy. And I think, you know, he pretty much shared the same thoughts I had when it came to Philbin. I don't think that he read as much into the opening monologue as I did. You know, he thought that was pretty strong, that he came out strong. I think the way he came out strong, to me, believe it or not, showed a lack of confidence. The fact that, you know, sometimes when people aren't sure of themselves, they raise their voice. You know, they start talking really loud or maybe fast because they're not sure of themselves. And that's the impression I got from Philbin, that coming out the way he did, sort of at a higher level of voice and the way he was looking at the media, sort of a little bit aggressively, showed a lack of confidence. You know, you're talking to the media right now. You're not talking to, you know, rookies on your team trying to get a point across. So it showed to me a little bit of insecurity, lack of confidence, not what I want to see in my head coach. And as I said, there's a lot of different ways to be a head coach in the NFL and to be a successful head coach in the NFL. There isn't just one way. It really comes down to you as an individual. Is what you're saying believable by the players? Are your actions, you know, followable? Are they the kind of actions and rules and, you know, that a team can buy into? Are you fair with the team? Are you honest with the team? You know, then it always helps to have a few rings to back you up and give you a little cred. But those things are the most important thing. Being honest, being fair, being believable, you know, being consistent. You know, not showing fear. You know, these guys are like dogs. They sense fear. They sense when you don't know what you believe, what you're talking about, or if you don't necessarily believe what you're talking about. They sense it like that, and you're going to lose them. And that's just not what I'm seeing in Philbin right now. Again, probably knows football better than as good as anyone. Looks like a real nice guy, but that doesn't always mean you're going to be a good head coach in the NFL. All right, let's get to some of the emails that are coming in. This first one, I want to get this one out of the way. This is from Amanda in Lexington, Kentucky. And she says, I've been a podcast listener for 3 years. You guys brighten up my commute to and from work. I'm a teacher, so I can rarely listen live. Anyway, through the past 3 years, you guys always mention someone you call strippers. Who is he? And why does he know a crap ton of random information? This has always bugged me since he never calls in or anything. Well, here's your answer, Amanda. Strippers is a guy who has been a longtime listener, fan of the show, and literally runs or manages, I'm not sure, owns, runs, a strip for hire company. So you need a stripper at your bachelor party, you call Strippers and he'll arrange it. So that's why we call him Strippers. But the reason why he always, the reason why we're always saying, hey, Strippers, get on it, is as far as I know, he lives by his computer. So he's always has access to information. So, you know, he'll look it up and get back the answer to us. And he's always listening to the show, as I'm sure he is right now. So that's why, you know, whenever there's a question about something, we always yell Strippers. He's sort of like our show historian and fact finder, as well as arranging for all the strippers that we want. Not that we actually have strippers, but he could if he wanted to. John in Geelong, Australia, writes in. He says he loves listening to the show for many years in the VB, drinking kangaroo riding land of Oz. Two shows is simply too little. PFW progress during the offseason, and three shows is too little during the season. Have you ever considered introducing a subscription-based model to fund extra shows and bring in more revenue? No, I did not make up this email. This is an actual email. He goes on to say, I understand that the radio show only exists because of the paper, but given the print media is slowly dying in the traditional sense, perhaps now is the time to explore a new funding model. How about maintaining the current number of shows as part of the free subscription and then introducing a $2 per week charge to get access to an extra show each week? Fridays during the season and Wednesdays in the off season. Obviously, I have no idea what this number would need to be to make it financially viable, but I would likely pay $4 to $5 per week for an extra show. Well, John, you know, thanks. I love it. You know, $20 a month per person would be a good number. But I don't know. I have a hard time charging for this show. I really feel like it's something we enjoy doing. It's something
for the
that,
people.
What's that?
It's for the
it's
people.
It's for the people. You know, we don't want to try. I'd rather have the advertisers pay for it. So, you know, if that means selling more ads, yeah, write to our sales department and tell them, you know, to get off their butts and start selling into the show. You know, maybe some, you know, more name sponsors and, you know, for each of the shows, whatever it takes. But I think that's the way we want to subsidize the show. I don't, not through you guys. You guys pay enough. You know, if you're a season ticket holder, you're paying a lot of money for season tickets, or if you're buying stuff from the online pro shop, you know, that kind of stuff. If you're, you know, buying a subscription to, you know, NFL for your DirecTV or buying apps, you know, you spend enough on the Patriots in the NFL. This shouldn't be an extra way to, you know, be involved with the team. So, you know, I appreciate the thought, but I'd rather not go there. I'd rather just build up the audience, make it provable, you know, in other words, real numbers that, you know, we can go to advertisers and show, look, here's how many people are downloading, here's how many people are listening live, and really do it that way. So if you want to help us out, write to our sales department, tell them to get off their keisters and start selling better. Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
G'day, Fred. You enjoying the being master of your domain there and not having to deal with the knuckleheads?
Yeah, you know, it's fine. I can get my points across without being cut off or misrepresented. So, yeah, it's good.
It's like you're an empty nester, Fred.
It is. It is. You know, I just wish these guys had an education.
Just with the combine being on this week, I wanted to call in with a couple of draft questions.
Yep.
My alma mater, Michigan State, had the number one defense in college last year. So I was curious if you thought that the Patriots were going to draft anybody or might be looking at anybody from Michigan State. I know Zaquez Denard, you know, is kind of the big name.
Right.
But I really kind of think that he's a little on the short side, and we've kind of got that short, muscly cornerback covered in our defense right now, and need someone, you know, a little taller, a little quicker than Zaquez might be.
Well, I mean, Zaquez is listed at 5'11", so, you know, that's not really that short. And, you know, he's about 200 pounds. But I, you know, like you said, he's probably going to go pretty high. He looks like he's the top-rated cornerback. So I don't know if the Patriots are going to have a shot at him. The good news, though, this year is because Clowney will likely go first, that might drop some of the quarterbacks down. And whenever that happens, there's a trickle-down effect, and some of these other position players may be dropped. So I don't know. I don't know really what the market is for other teams for cornerback. I know teams are always looking for good corners. Justin Gilbert's the guy that's kind of ranked right after him out of Oklahoma State, and he's 6 feet. But even all the top corners this year, Gilbert, Verrett out of TCU, Kyle Fuller, and E.J. Gaines, they're all 5'11", 6 foot. So none of them really have a lot of height.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that's going to be the red check against Dennard this year. I don't think they're going to look at height, you know?
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Speaking of Clowney, there are no guarantees in the draft, as we all know. But he's talked up a lot. You know, he's a lot of people said he's the can't miss, and there have been comparisons made to Lawrence Taylor. If he was that good, how many picks would you be happy with Bill trading to trade up to draft someone, you know, can't miss? A prospect like Clowney, and I know we've got a lot of needs, and there are a lot of you need to build up the team through the draft.
Yep.
But a lot of people struggle to give Bill credit for one good pick,
right?
You know, one hit in the draft, let alone three or four that he might need to cover all our needs.
Yep.
So is it better to sacrifice a bunch of picks and get that can't miss or near can't miss player like Clowney, particularly when he's looking for a pass rush that would help a lot of those other concerns, like the secondary?
I just don't think
not that it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think that with Bill. Because of where the Patriots are drafting in each round, which is pretty low, I don't know if they have the ammunition. But like, I'd be willing to give them this year's first, maybe next year's second and third, and throw in Ryan Mallett. I'd be willing to do that to get a guy like Clowney. This year's first, maybe next year's first, to get Clowney. I'm not sure if I'd go there, but like you said, if he's truly the blue chip player, once in a generation, can't miss type of player, then, you know, I'd be willing. That's the kind of guy that transforms your defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be willing to do that if the questions with Clowney are, you know, his motivation and his work ethic, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, when your coach comes out and questions your work ethic, that's a big red flag right there.
Yeah. Now, another guy, he's not an end, but he's an outside linebacker that I want to ask you about since you're Michigan State. What is going on with Denikos Allen? What do you think about him? Do you know a lot about him at all?
No, I don't. I mean, he's the linebacker that was all the focus of all the attention in Michigan State tended to be Bullock rather than Allen. I'm not really too familiar with Allen. Living in D.C., you don't always get to see the Michigan State games that much. So I'm afraid I'm not all that familiar with Allen. That was the thing, though. It was one of those defenses that didn't really seem to have, apart from Denard, didn't really seem to have that that big name player. It seemed to be more of a team effort rather than any particular one player apart from Denard.
Yeah. Now the reason I ask about Allen, I don't think he's going to go high. But, you know, he's definitely going to get drafted, and he could be a sleeper late. And, you know, I've heard some things about him, so I just wondering, you being a Michigan State, if you had any insight on him. I don't.
Yeah,
you know?
Particularly not. I also hadn't thought about him much since the Patriots, I think, are pretty settled in terms of linebacker at the moment. I mean, that doesn't stop them drafting another guy. I mean, we all know what Bill's like.
Well, because one of the things is, will Brandon Spikes be back? Now, I know that he is an inside linebacker, but if he goes, there's a trickle-down effect. Does that mean you need to move Gerard Mayo back really inside? That, you know, and I know he's an inside linebacker for the most part anyway, but there is a trickle-down effect, and maybe that could affect the outside if Spikes is not here anymore.
Allen really can't play inside. He's more of the edge guy.
He's an outside linebacker.
He's a get after the quarterback. A little bit undersized, even for that.
Okay.
You could almost argue that he's almost the size of a safety.
Okay.
The way that I saw him.
All right.
And I watch, Dan, I'm with you. I watch a lot of Michigan State games. My sister and my family are my family's from out there. My sister went there, so I've been out there to watch a bunch of games.
Yeah, so you know him. I should ask
so
you.
So I know him.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks, Dan. I appreciate the call.
I have one more question.
Okay.
Manziel, with all the statements that he's come out with this past week, I can see him turning off someone like Bill with regards, you know, with making those big sort of statements. But what about, turning off Bill Belichick, but what about Bill O'Brien? Has Bill O'Brien had that same sort of, we don't like a guy who makes too much of a show attitude like Belichick does, or is he someone who's going to be intrigued by that confidence?
I would say the latter. I think knowing Bill O'Brien, that he, you know, he's confident enough in himself and the program that he's going to establish at Texans, where he'll be able to take on a guy like Manziel and have him buy in. And, you know, whether or not that's true, who knows? But I believe that O'Brien would believe that, yeah, he could handle a Johnny Football. So that wouldn't be a detriment. If he believes that he can play and, you know, win games in the NFL, the all this other stuff wouldn't be as much of a factor for a guy like Bill O'Brien. So
if you're betting, Freddie, you're going to bet that they take a QB or that they take Clowney?
It's a tough one. It really is tough. I don't know what Bill O'Brien thinks of Johnny Manziel as a football player. I don't know that. You know, I do know that they probably don't think that they've got the answer on their team right now as a for quarterback. So, but is Manziel the guy that you want to invest a first overall draft pick on? I don't know. But
him or one of the other QBs, do you think they go QB first or they go Clowney first?
Well, that's the thing. You know, is Clowney a more of a safer bet as the first overall? I don't know. It's really hard. Now, what would I do if I'm Bill O'Brien? I think I'd go Clowney. I really do. I think he's a safer bet because I don't think personally that Manziel is going to be that type of first overall, you know, quarterback in the, you know, I think maybe, you know, second, third round, put him on the bench, maybe learn a little bit. But man, first round, first overall guy, you're going to want him to come in right away and play. And I know a lot of people have compared him to Brett Favre. Even Brett Favre did. Favre is a lot bigger than Johnny Manziel is. And Brett Favre got the crap beat out of him toward the end of his career. Now, of course, he had a Hall of Fame career early on, but Manziel isn't as big. I don't know if he can absorb it. I think what happened to Favre later in his career is going to happen to Manziel a lot earlier. And, you know, I don't know if the NFL wants, you know, if he can handle being that type of player in the NFL. So, I would not spend a first-round overall pick on Johnny Manziel, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting at the top of the draft this year.
Yeah, I think, and I hope Bill O'Brien, or if he trades, you know, picks, I hope whoever has that first pick doesn't come out early and say, this is who we're taking. I love the intrigue going into the morning of not knowing. So I hope it doesn't come out, whoever has that first overall pick, you know, I hope it doesn't come out who they're going to actually take until the draft starts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dan.
Oh, by the way, it's pronounced Geelong, not, what did you say, Geelong? Geelong.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Let's do one more call, then we're going to take a break because I got to eat a little bit. Pat's in Agawam. He wants to talk about Jared Allen and Julius Peppers. Hey, Pat.
Hey, what's going on, Fred?
How you doing?
Not too bad.
Good.
Yeah, I never get a chance to call in because I'm always at work, but the boss is out today.
No, but we love reading your emails. You send in good ones.
Hey, I actually had a couple questions. The first one is, I mean, I heard you say something about this being a deep draft, and I'm sure that'll be debunked before, you know, the actual draft comes about.
Right.
But do you see the possibility of the Pats, you know, trading up to get one of these tight ends if they fall in love with them over the next, you know, month or so before the draft starts?
You know, Pat, I started out the show, and I don't know if you heard it, but, you know, I started out by saying that Colbert, the GM of the Steelers, said this is the deepest draft he's seen in third in his time in the NFL. And a lot of people have said the same thing. And so as a Patriot fan, you might think, oh, that means the Patriots are going to, you know, trade down because there's a lot of depth, you know, later on in the draft. Not necessarily. A deep draft could also mean that other teams are willing to trade down and allowing the Patriots to trade up. So basically, a deep draft means there's more partners to do what you want to do. So if the Patriots are looking to move up and get, say, a guy like Amaro, there might be more partners available to make that type of trade. So, yes, I think that they could trade up to get that type of player, whether it's a tight end or, you know, a pass rusher.
And in your opinion, if Allen and Peppers are both out there, you know, and they're both about the same money, I don't know about you, but I would prefer Jared Allen. I think he's been a little bit more dominant over the course of his career getting to the quarterback than Julius Peppers has. Plus, he's a couple years younger. But who would you rather see them pick up?
I would take Jared Allen. I think that he's more consistent. I think Peppers is the better athlete overall, but I think Jared Allen might be, you know, at this, you know, it's funny to say more coachable when it, you know, you got a veteran of the years of Allen or Peppers, but I think Allen might buy into what the Patriots want him to do a little bit more than Peppers would, and, you know, be a little bit more consistent. Because remember, you know, the Patriots, they're not that normal team. Rarely have they been a team to allow a guy to just get after the quarterback. Usually they want you to do more than that, and you can criticize that or like it, but that's just the case. And so if they brought in a Jared Allen, I doubt they would just say, you know, just get after the guy. You'd probably be in some type of rotation. There'd be certain packages where you wouldn't even be on the field sometimes. And the player has to buy into that. And I can see, you know, maybe Jared Allen doing that a little bit more than Julius Peppers. And I think his price might be just a little bit less.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All right, good talking to you. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Pat Nagawam. All right, we got more calls coming in. Emails coming in as well. I want to appreciate everyone. I'm solo here with Kevin in the booth. Eric is still, you know, he's all shaken up from the fender bender, and we've got Paul and Annie at the combine. So let's take this break. We come back. A lot of good emails, calls. We'll do that right after this.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
With extra 20 checking from Santander Bank, you can get $20 every month just for using direct deposit and paying bills online. Stuff you already do. Most things you already do don't pay $20. Things like setting your alarm, hitting the off button instead of the snooze button, waking up at 2 p.m. or looking for a new job. But open your extra 20 checking and savings at SantanderBank.com and you do get $20 every month. Now your bank pays you. Santander, a bank for your ideas. $20 bonus for direct deposit of $1,500 or more and two bills paid through online banking per service fee period. Limit one package per person. Santander Bank N.A. member FDIC.
Before Jenny met her new nephew Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you listen? I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is email address. You know, that NRG commercial.
With McConaughey?
Yeah, that was Matthew McConaughey's voice. Reminded me, are you guys listening, or anyone out there, are watching True Detective? Great, great show on HBO. It's got Woody Harrelson and McConaughey in it. Just an unbelievable show.
By the way, speaking of that open too, or that rejoin, I had to go Subaru shopping on Monday, Fred.
And why Subaru shopping?
The girl wants a Subaru Forester.
The girl?
Yes.
Is this your girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay.
And she seems to have her heart set on a Subaru Forester. I guess they've won a bunch of awards this year, the 2014 Forester.
Yeah.
It's got like the best safety ratings and won the J.D. Power Award and all that.
Oh.
And I guess they're flying off the shelves, and obviously President's Day is a good time to buy a car.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to talk her out of it, Fred, because she has this this RAV4, which is like the same thing as a Forester.
Yeah.
And it's a 2006, so it's like 7 years old, going on 8, but it only has 65,000 miles on it. It's got like nothing on it.
Yeah.
And she wants to get rid of it
already.
Does
she owe any money on it?
She doesn't.
Oh, then get rid of it. She wants a new car.
She wants to trade, I guess.
Yeah. Now's the time. Now the value is never going to be higher on the trade-in than it is now.
But I told her, you know, the hang-up on the Subaru Outback, and I think that's steering her toward the Forester.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It's a hang-up. You know, don't worry about it. Unless there's something she hasn't told you.
I hope not.
Well, maybe, you know.
That'd be a shocker. Maybe I should delve into that a little deeper.
Yeah, maybe you should broach the subject.
I should.
You get your eyes on anyone else?
No.
You can invite into the boudoir?
Oh, that would be. Well, she is French, Fred.
There you go.
So she's a French citizen.
She's
American and French, dual citizen.
That's nice.
So there you go.
So I think you get yourself a Subaru and, you know, someone else in there. And,
there you go.
Yeah.
Make a night of it.
Super screw. all right. What was I going to say? Okay, yeah, Matthew McConaughey, True Detective, great show. If you haven't, check it out on demand, HBO. It's just unbelievable, unbelievably well-crafted in every aspect, the writing, the directing, the acting, just a great, great show. And for those House of Cards fans out there, I've already finished the whole thing. I watched the whole second season in two nights, and that was off the charts, too. This is the golden age of TV. When you think about it, when you think of the selection of content that you have on your TV right now, it's never really been better. I mean, everything from, you know, Here Comes Honey Boo Boo to House of Cards and everything in between. If there's something for everyone on television today, and you can get it anytime, anywhere, which is so, you know, they say the golden age of television back in the 50s or whatever. No, this is it right here. This is the golden age. Dave in Milwaukee writes, and I just listened to Tuesday's show this morning. As usual, I found myself siding with Andy in the belief that the Patriots beat themselves with personnel decisions far more often than getting beat by other teams. I also found myself siding with Eddie to some extent. I think he means Eddie from Maryland. I would give anything for Belichick to relinquish his drafting reins. I'll preface this by saying there's no one in the in-game coach that I'd rather have than Bill, but we've been duped far too many times into thinking that the players we draft are extremely versatile, athletic, all-purpose guys, when in actuality, they do multiple things very poorly. I want a master of one trade, pass rush, cover corner, etc., and not a jack of all of them. If you're still taking recommendations of who to look at in the combine, I would urge you to look at any injury-prone, unknown, or unheralded player, because that's who we'll draft. And you might want to get a jump start on the player's card. Well, that's kind of a negative email, Dave. I understand the Patriots have made some mistakes in the draft, but really, please, before you make that comment, look as closely at all the other teams and then tell me how bad Bill Belichick is at drafting, okay? It's not easy. That's no excuse for some of the swings and misses, but no team has the kind of track record that a lot of you expect Bill Belichick to have. He's such a great coach that bar is so high, you want his drafting to be at that same level. Well, that's not the way it is for any GM or head coach that has that control in the league. It just isn't. So look as closely at all the other teams' draft record over the last 10 years and then compare them to the Patriots. And then tell me that you'd rather have anyone else here, okay? All right? Let's go to the phones. Liam's in North Carolina. He's been holding on for a while. Hey, Liam.
Hey, Fred. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, first I want to give a shout-out to Dan. I'm glad I got to follow him. He's Australian. My wife's from Australia. If you listen to this later, I don't know if he knows about it, but there's a place you can go called Simply Oz and get all his creature comforts from home. My wife loves it. Today marks the one-year anniversary when I discovered your podcast, and I got to say, it's probably the only podcast that I listen to religiously, and I'm glad I found you guys. It was last year, pre-draft time, that I was looking for something, and found you guys. I've enjoyed it all year.
Well, I appreciate that, Liam. That's great.
And as part of that, this next year, I'm gonna keep a running tally. I'll even email it to you of the number of times you guys do some of the things you're famous for, like Andy and Paul going screaming matches off topic or mentioning various genitalia. I think it's kind of funny that there's a lot of this stuff that happens all the time.
Well, and it's not an act, unfortunately. It's what happens all day here. But yep,
no,
okay.
No, it's bunch of guys get together talking about football. I mean, it's about to happen.
That's right.
I haven't had a chance to watch any of the combine stuff. Been real busy at work, but has there been any mention or any news about hey, the franchise tag stuff?
No news on the franchise tag yet. Nope, nothing.
Okay. All right, that's all I'm really concerned of right now, because combine and everything is good, but we won't know anything until draft day comes up and everybody starts making moves.
Yep.
And, that's about it. Thanks for the great podcast, and I look forward to the next year.
All right, Liam, thanks for finding us a year ago and sticking with us ever since. Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Driving up to Connecticut right about now.
Okay, how's the roads out there?
Right now it's better.
Yeah, it's
Monday and Tuesday scared me, because I had to go to Maryland and I had to go to Baltimore.
Oh.
But other than that, it's better now.
Yep.
Than it was a couple of days ago.
Yep.
But getting back to the email, I have to be with him, man. Coach, I really have no Bible but Bill coaching the Patriots.
Yep.
Personnel decision. Hell no. Excuse me. Heck no.
Okay, so tell me who would you want making the personnel decisions for the New England Patriots?
Shoot. I'll take his counterpart. Ozzie Newsome over there in Baltimore.
Okay.
He pulled out better talent, guys that can fit in and run, and they're big, physical, fast, and can cover, and can hit, and receiver-wise. You know, I'll take his counterpart.
Okay.
And then you got to look at some other players that we should have had. We're sitting there looking at them, but we never did get them. Like I said before, Rucker College, Marshall, I ain't never seen them be at Bowl or be at Fed. They might be smart with football players, but they're not athletic enough, tall enough, or fast enough. I'm just getting tired of seeing people of regular speed just run by a corner and our safety, and they're just standing there.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me it's just our scheme. No, man, most of that is athletic ability.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be a three keys or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to read a textbook. You know? I'm sorry, Fred.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
As far as the tight end go, I hope we don't do that on the first round. I heard Denard supersized more of a man and can man coverage and got a little speed just in case we lose to lead. I'd rather go that route. Tight end, you can work down a little bit later.
Yeah.
You know, for defense, for the last 4 years, man, like I said, offense, like I said, we've been in the playoff games championship two enough. But again, we get to the last one, defense giving up more points than we can score. Giving up more yards than we can stop.
Yeah.
You know, so I got to look at Pete Carroll, man, the way he drafts also.
Well, Pete Carroll, going back to his days at San Francisco when he was the defensive coordinator, he's always known defense. He especially defensive backfields. He knows what he wants, and he finally had the chance to do it his way in Seattle. And so far, it's working. I would love to have a voice in the room like Pete Carroll, for sure. When you're making decisions. Yeah.
But see, Bill got that same pedigree from the Giants. Former back coach, the defensive line, the defensive coach.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm looking at. Because I'm looking, okay, those 3 years, I still said it would be a personnel boy that we won that one of them bowls with. And he did ask the people in between there, especially Brady. You know, but the corners and the linebackers, those are Bill's pick. Bill personnel pick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, why can't you follow that? You know, you lost the two best corners to me in the league. That's Ty Law and Poole when they left. I've been looking trying to find a replacement ever since then. And you might have been, but you're picking the wrong people.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you have to go up to that number one draft choice.
Yeah.
You have to. You can't take value picks all the time. Because value ain't going to get you nothing but what we got. Now, like I said, our record, I brag on it all the time.
Yeah.
But see, you know what they put back in my face? You never even want to pick with him.
Yeah, see, I'm not. I have no problem. Thanks for the call. I have no problem where they've picked moving down. They've just not picked the right guys sometimes where they've picked. The elite guys that obviously, had they been here would have helped. You know, I don't know if the Patriots had the ammunition in order to be able to get those, you know, when they were available. And I'll say this about 2013, about the defense in particular. You know, if they hadn't had the injuries that they did, I really do believe we would have seen a markedly better defense than we've seen in the last three, 4 years. I have no doubt about that. And I think that would have made the, you know, the secondary look better. If Mayo was still in there and if Vince Wilfork was still in there and Tommy Kelly was still in there, I really believe that would have helped overall, you know, the secondary as well. So I'm not freaking out about where the Patriots are defensively right now. Now, if you lose Tlaib, if you don't bring him back, that's a huge hole you got to fill. Let's just say that right off the top. But assuming that Tlaib comes back, I think they can build on this defense. I don't think it's a defense that needs to be rebuilt. I think it can be built on. I think it's got a really good foundation. Let's go to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Fred, I got to give it up to you for the one-man show today, man. Good job so far. You know, this is the best Patriots entertainment I've had from one guy since the old days of Dave Crisoli.
Go Pats.
It's like Leisure Suit Larry meets Patriots football, you know, back then with the square box on the internet screen back then. The dial-up.
Right, he had the flat-top crew cut and all that, yep.
No, man, you know, good job, though, keeping it afloat. I told my wife I had to run some errands so I could jump in and support you with a phone call and maybe bring you some radio gold, you know. But, you know, first off, you know, Dan in Virginia, one of my PFW elite brothers, man, how do you hold a guy like Clowney to the level of an LT? I mean, with drug testing being what it is today, it's impossible for any player to have that much cocaine flowing through their brain to that kind of a level.
Yeah.
Oh, but, you know, the bottom line is let's keep the LT talk at bay. I mean, that's Belichick's obviously his favorite guy. Dan brought this up as a kind of a debate subject. And, you know, the bottom line is that you just can't put a guy, you know, up there with LT. It's not fair. You know, this kid has got a lot to prove, and any rookie's got a lot to prove, obviously, with the bust being out there in the past for all draft picks. But, you know, really at the end of the day, I want the Patriots to really go out there and get playmakers. That's our key. And this combine is going to be kind of the first step to seeing all that. The Jets suck. They were today. And lastly, about Michael Sam last week, you know, let this kid get out there. Let him play. Show him what he's got on the field. You know, I mean, if this kid can get after the quarterback, let's root him through for him. You know, I think I'm proud of him for, you know, being who he is. I mean, you know, as long as he can get after the quarterback, you know, he can get out there and do the YMCA for a victory. For all I care. But anyway, man, have a day. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Chester. Yeah, Michael Sam, that's going to be interesting. You know, his coming out, does it hurt his draft pick? Does it help? I mean, I think the GMs knew anyway. His whole team knew all season, and Sam knew that a lot of people knew, and that's why he came out when he did, because he wanted the news to come from him, controlled the way he did. So it should not hurt his draft, you know, where he's drafted. That said, you know, he's been talked about anywhere from the third round down. And, you know, all the reports, who was it, Greg Bedard, had a really nice piece last week where he looked at every single snap that Michael Sam had, every game that he played in. And, you know, he really put his production in context. A lot of his sacks came against some of the lesser teams. And, you know, when he was tied up, he really didn't have a second move. So, you know, he's a middling type of player. And, you know, he'll probably go in about the fifth round. But, you know, it should have obviously nothing to do with, you know, his declaration. And, you know, we all wish the best for him because he is a groundbreaker. I think it's about time. And I think, you know, the NFL needs to get to where, you know, the rest of the world is when it comes to that type of stuff. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, Freddie. Good job on the show, brother.
I'm doing what I can.
That's all right. That's all right. Doing well. True Detective, great show. Hooked, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Phenomenal show.
Yep.
I had a question about Tlaib and contract. And a couple of days ago, D'Angelo Hall of the Redskins signed a deal, 4 years, $17 million. He got $3.25 million to sign, and he had $2 million more in guarantees. Any chance that Talib signs for anywhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, when that happened,
that's
Paul,
too low.
When that happened, Paul walked in and said, "Boy, that's encouraging for Talib, because we both agree that Talib's a little bit better, but even a little bit more than that, I think, is still reasonable." For the Patriots.
Yeah.
So if he would agree to that, just a little bit more than what Hall got, I think to me it's a done deal. It's a done deal.
Do you think that Talib is the type of guy that's looking to break the bank? I don't know. I can't get a read on it.
You know, I should know the answer to this. I don't know who his agent is. In so many cases, that makes a lot of difference, who the agent
sure.
is. You know, if his agent is, Rosenhaus, then he's probably going to be asking for a little bit more than maybe Brad Blank, for example, here in Boston. I don't know. Not that Brad Blank isn't as good an agent, but there are some agents that, you know, they don't listen as much. They just have a number in mind, and no matter what you say, they're not going to listen. So I don't know who his agent is. I don't. At the same time, I don't think Talib's the guy to give hometown discounts. I can tell you that much.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
That's
so
why,
They're going to have to pay this guy if they want to do a deal other than the franchise tag. They're going to have to pay him, and I think it's going to be more than Hall for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, even if it's, you know, 4 years and $22 million
yeah.
or whatever, and listen, the whole thing, you guys always say it's all structured with the guarantee money. That's
right.
Where there's all the upfront, the signing bonus, and everything, and the guarantee. So, yeah. I mean, I would hope that they would certainly come to terms with him. Talib is the number one priority.
At the very least, I would hope that Talib and his agent would listen to something where it's not necessarily incentive-laden, but it's more games played where, look, if you can finish a season, you'll make more money. You know, so it's based on his injury history rather than, you know, if you get X amount of interceptions, we'll pay you more. But I think that, you know, if they be reasonable, say, look, if you can play 16 games, then you'll make extra amount of money, and have some type of incentive in there like that so that the Patriots can save money if the guy gets hurt like he has the last 2 years.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, Robert said it at the Super Bowl week. He got hurt in the last two seasons, the last game of the year. So
right, that's a factor.
Yeah.
That's where you hope that whoever his agent is can at least be reasonable about that. You know, that's a concern.
Yeah. Sure it is.
All right. Christian Wright calling in. Let's go down to North Carolina. Robert's on the line. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Fred. How's it going today, man?
Good.
All right. Now, look, you know, we're talking about bringing in people, and I know last year during free agency, you especially just had a hard one for Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, I did because, you know, I think they needed that infusion at wide receiver, and you know, he was a guy that had production, and I thought he had a big upside, and I think they swung and missed. I thought they should have offered him a little bit more so that the Steelers wouldn't match.
Well, I mean, he's just not a solution. I mean, if you look at what Dobson and Tompkins, they had a much better year statistically in some ways than he did. They had much more yards per catch than he did. I think he only had about 11, and they were – you know, upwards of what, you know, 14, 15, something like that.
Oh, yeah, but you're looking at, you're judging that from a Steelers team that had a terrible offensive line that couldn't protect Roethlisberger. And, you know.
But at the same time, his best game of his career came against us when he had 98 yards. He's never even had a 100-yard game, even though this year he was targeted, you know, more than 10 times in 5 different games. A guy who's getting the ball thrown to him a dozen times in the game, who can't pull down a 100-yard game in his career, we don't even need to spend time talking about him.
Well, I think that he would have been a good addition. No, when you say he's not the solution, you know, I doubt anyone short of a Larry Fitzgerald or Calvin Johnson isn't the solution. But when you add him to the mix, that's what I'm talking about. Adding him to the mix, I think he would have elevated this offense. I think it would have been that much more well-rounded and given Brady, you know, that one extra outlet, that one extra option on offense. You know, that's all. And it wasn't outrageous. I don't think they would have had to break the bank in order to give him a deal. You know, and I think, you know, when you talk about a restricted free agent, the Patriots rarely go after these guys. And when they do, It's someone that they really believe in, like Wes Welker, you know, years back. And so they saw something in Sanders that enough to make him an offer. And I think that says something, too.
Well, I mean, he was one of the few guys in the league with a pulse who didn't have a bunch of baggage. I mean, we're talking about less than 10 guys.
Yeah.
And so the pool there is very limited, but we just didn't get, we wouldn't have gotten from him. It would have been the same thing. You know, Brady or Roethlisberger throwing him the ball a dozen times and he comes down with a, you know, 67-yard game.
Yeah.
And then that's what we don't need. We need somebody who's going to, at least Thompson and Dobkins, you know, they got the Dobson, they got the potential to go out there and be something next year. And Sanders, the only thing he's going to do is age and go down.
Well, I, you know, so, bringing in Sanders doesn't mean you get rid of Dobson and Tompkins. I mean, you can still have Dobson if you have Sanders.
Yeah, but Sanders is, I don't think he's anything. He's, you know, less productive statistically than the two rookies that we had. And he's no better than Edelman or Amendola.
Yeah.
So what are we getting? We're getting just another guy.
That's what they said about Wes Welker when people said that they thought they overpaid him. You got to take in context where the guy's coming from, what was their offense like, you know, what was going on in those games. You got to put it in context and then be able to project, okay, this guy in our team, in our offense, we think he's going to be more productive. And I think that's what the Patriots were doing with him.
I don't know. Let's just turn the page on Emmanuel Lewis.
All right, okay.
Have a good one, though, Fred. You're doing a good job with everybody. All right. I like it actually a little bit better that way.
All right, thanks, Robert. Hey, look, Emmanuel Sanders, to me, just represents, you know, an addition to the offense. Like Robert said, he ain't the answer, all right? He's not the answer. You're not going to bring him in and all of a sudden, you know, everything is solved. But they do need, you know, some reliable infusion of talent on offense. I have high hopes for Dobson and, you know, even Boyce. I think Boyce can make plays in the NFL. That doesn't mean that they shouldn't bring in, you know, someone else on offense to add to what Brady has. So I think it shouldn't be, you know, the Donald Hayes and Joey Galloway's. I think they should go after a guy who, you know, has a little bit more of a track record. Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Fred. How you doing today?
Good.
You know, I agree with what you're saying there with the receivers, but I'm looking more like maybe a Hicks from New York. Okay, you know, you're talking about track record. I know he's had 1,000 yards maybe once or twice in his career. You know, he's a bigger receiver.
Yep.
And, you know, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, I think they need that veteran presence, that one guy that stabilized that wide receiving core.
You mentioned Hicks, and it's interesting. News came out this morning on him that he just changed agents, and he went with Jay-Z's firm, whatever the name of that.
That
tells me that, you know, okay, he's getting ready to do something.
Big money.
Yeah, he's getting ready to, you know, to do some negotiating with teams. So, you know, they could end up with Hicks. Who knows?
You know, and I want to talk about, like, defense here with free agency. First of all, I heard Adrian Wilson is, they're saying he might be ready for next year. I mean, is he even going to make the team?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
We want to, like, you know, re-hit this drum with a guy who's going to be, what, 33, 34?
34.
You know, I'm not saying he's, you know, he's not, you know, a good, you know, he's certainly not the player he was.
Yep.
You know,
I was really surprised when that report cropped up a couple days ago that he's, you know, feeling good and ready to contribute. And the Patriots had a 2-year deal with him, so he's still, he's still with the Patriots.
He's still under contract, and I know that, but, you know, I think it's time to go, you know, draft the youth, you know, I understand that the safeties are, it's a pretty strong crop this year, you know, or even free agents to go after Bird from Buffalo. You know, but I'm looking more at defensive line. You know, I think, you know, the big question there for us is going to be with Wolfork. I mean, I love him to death. You know, I think he definitely needs to restructure the contract. Maybe, giving him an extension where the money's paid a little bit, a couple years from now, you know, and, you know, hopefully he comes back from that torn Achilles.
Yep.
But, I think, you know, you know, we've coveted a couple of these guys, like a Julius Peppers, I heard, is like on the outs in Chicago. Maybe even like a Jason Tucker or a
Justin Tuck,
a Jared Allen from Minnesota. I mean, you know, I think we need to sign. I know we were looking Dwight Freeney and the guy who went to the Falcons.
Abraham?
Abraham. They were talking about it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, with your defensive line, I mean, you know, you have this kid Armstead, and I know when, Belichick went out and he was the only rookie that had a guaranteed contract. Okay. Undrafted free agent rookie who had that, you know, guaranteed contract. He's still an unknown.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the Patriots definitely see something in this kid because they've kept it.
Yeah.
You know, I think Villano and Jones have proven themselves, but I think more in a backup role.
They're not your guys. They're backup for sure. Armstead,
but
solid
backup.
Yeah, Armstead couldn't be drafted because he came from Canada. But, you know, I'm not – those guys that you mentioned, to me, they're not answers either. You know, they're not – they're just guys that are – they're going to be in camp, and they're going to fight for spots just like everybody else. Adrian Wilson, you mentioned, he's going to fight for a spot. But I think it's good to have those types of guys in there, guys with a little bit of experience like Wilson, you know – but you still go out and draft a safety if you think you need a safety and let them fight it out.
And, there's some good safeties out there. Ward, you know, in free agency, Bird. I think the Patriots need to go out there and definitely, you know, kick those tires.
Yep.
And they're young. You know, I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't know what they're seeing in the draft. You know, I really haven't, followed that position. I've been more tight end, you know, and D-line in the draft.
Yep.
That's what I'm looking at.
All right, Dave. Thanks for the call. Dave mentions some of the free agents that are out there. A good piece to read that came out yesterday was from Field Yates on ESPN Boston. Now, Field covers the Patriots now for ESPN Boston, but before that, he spent some time in the scouting department for the Kansas City Chiefs, so he's kind of seen things from both sides, and he's very close to the Patriots. He actually grew up close to the Belichick. So not that I think he gets insider information. I hope he would, but I take what he writes a lot with having some knowledge. And he wrote the top 10 free agents that the Patriots should be interested in. Of course, you know, Tlaib was in there, you know, re-signing Tlaib. But a lot of the guys he mentioned were D-linemen, you know, and the top one that he thought maybe the Patriots should be interested in is Justin Tuck as maybe the more all-around versatile guy that the Patriots might be interested in. But in the middle there, another free agent that he spent some time talking about was Ryan Wendell. And he doesn't get a lot of talk here because, you know, the top two free agents are Edelman and Tlaib. But Wendell is also a free agent as the center. And, you know, Yates wrote that, you know, given he did have a down year in 2013, but he believes that he's pretty solid, you know, a good technical center, and that it is somebody that, you know, because the money would be right, the Patriots will probably re-sign, you know, giving them all the flexibility they need there in the middle. That doesn't mean that they won't go and maybe draft an interior lineman, like Paul Perillo was saying earlier when he called in, but, you know, he puts Wendell up there as one of the top 10 people that, you know, they should look at in free agency. And he kind of gets overlooked because of Tlaib and Edelman. I just thought that was interesting. And the other interesting thing, as I said, a lot of the free agents that he said they will or should look at were defensive linemen, with Tuck being in there. So I just thought that was interesting. It's on ESPNBoston.com, came out yesterday, so it's probably still close to the top there in terms of their articles. Todd writes in, he's from Weymouth, and he says about Tuesday's show, he says, I thought you would have spent a bit more time discussing the Ted Wells report. Paul and Andy interpreted Incognito's tweet prior to the release to be an indication that he would be vindicated by the report. Obviously, that wasn't the case. Just wondering what you thought about the report, and do you see any of the main people discussed, including Philbin, differently now? I think it was a mess. I think, you know, I said it before, I think Richie Incognito was a jackass. He was a jackass before this report came out, a known jackass, and he's a jackass now. I think the fact that he's in any type of leadership position shows the lack of leadership that was in the locker room overall. And Philbin basically admitted to that, you know, he was accountable for everything that happened, yet he wasn't accountable for him being made part of the leadership committee. Just shows, you know, the lack of leadership that was going on there. You know, so the Ted Wells report had some interesting things that we may not have known everything about, but basically what it told me is that whatever we think of in locker rooms in terms of ball busting, which happens all the time, it was taken to another level there, mainly because of Incognito. There were others, but that's who Incognito was, and we knew he was like that. And there was no one there to check that. There was no one there to put an end to it because I think the leadership wasn't strong enough from the top. I don't know if Richie Incognito was on any other team, and if he had done the same thing, it would have been any different. Because, you know, it really takes, in a locker room in the NFL, some strength of character to say something to a guy like that. You know, but I think now it's just got to happen. I think this could have happened to a lot of teams, however, if a guy like Richie Incognito was there. And that's the main point, is why do you have a guy like Richie Incognito in the first place? And further, why do you put him on your leadership committee? Why do you, you know, that's the thing that I think is most damning for the Miami Dolphins. They fired their O-line coach. They fired their training for basically going along to get along and laughing and not saying anything when his assistant trainer was the butt of a lot of these jokes that were, you know, more of a sexual nature and a racial nature. And he didn't do anything as his boss didn't stick up for him. And I think that's reprehensible. I think, you know, if you're a boss of somebody and you see one of the people that work for you being singled out, you got to stick by him. If your boss doesn't stand by you and have your back, you know, who does? And, you know, maybe this kid was laughing along, but I don't know. There comes a point where you just got to stick up for the kid. And that didn't happen. And the O-line coach with the whole, you know, homophobic comments. Hey, I'm sure that happens in a lot of locker rooms. But you know what? It's going to stop eventually. And maybe this is the first step to stopping it. So, you know, in a way, it's good that it happened. It's bad for Jonathan Martin. I think he's got problems himself. And I think that this may have happened to him in a lot of other locker rooms, too. But the point is, this locker room had Richie Incognito, and Richie Incognito is a jackass. And that's it. That's the bottom line. I know a lot of people are out there defending Richie Incognito. I don't see how you do that. I really don't. I'm not saying that this was necessarily bullying, but it was just you know, jackass behavior. And he did it to the wrong person this time. And, you know, now it's hopefully it's going to change a lot of locker rooms, not just the Miami Dolphins locker room. Let's see. Michelle, who just loves it when I call her Shalotta, she says she finds it extremely interesting that Philbin is talking about responsibility and has taken none, regardless if he knew it or not. Also find it incompletely weird that he didn't know. Either way is grounds for firing in my book. And I can't imagine Bill not knowing exactly what's going on at any time in the locker room. Something is fishy. Well, absolutely. But one of the reasons why Philbin didn't know is he didn't have good leadership in the locker room. You know, I'm not saying in the Patriots if something bad happened, you know, Gerard Mayo would be running down to Bill Belichick's office to tell. But Gerard Mayo would have the strength of character, the credibility, and the cachet in the locker room to do something about it himself. And that's the difference. Gerard Mayo is a man of character. Richie Incognito is not. He wasn't before this, and he isn't now. And that was the problem, is who are your circle the wagon guys, as Bill Parcells always used to call them. The circle your wagon guys are the guys that, you know, when it hits the fan, when the pressure's on, when that two-game losing streak starts, when something else happens that could cause a distraction, your circle the wagon guys are the guys that you lean on to keep your locker room in order. If you're leaning on Richie Incognito, you're going to fall over because he, again, is a jackass. So that was the problem in Miami. Let's see. Brian in Brighton's calling in on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Fred. You're flying solo today, huh?
I am flying all by myself here.
If anyone can do it, you can.
Well, I'm doing my best, you know?
Hey, how can you not make Eric come and show up or something?
Well, he got into an accident and, you know, drawing while driving and, you know, he's shaken up. He's okay physically, but, you know, mentally.
Oh, good.
Thing like that for Eric. It'll take a few months for him to get over, I'm sure.
So, I guess I caught in a little late, and I guess I caught some conversations about Belichick and the way he manages the team.
Yep.
And people are complaining about that.
Well, the personnel moves, yeah. Personnel.
Yeah. Well, and I can understand you seem to be on the defensive end, and I agree with you to a certain extent. I mean, we cannot complain about what we've had in the Belichick era. It's just been success. Right.
I defend him to the point of I don't want to replace him. These people want someone else on this team or bringing in someone else to make the personnel moves. I can't go there because I before you make that decision, please look at all the other teams over the last 10 years or during the time that Belichick's been here and tell me who has been better at building a team year after year after year and keeping it competitive. You know, Eldridge brought in Ozzie Newsome. You know,
yeah.
That's a good – I can go there. Ozzie Newsome
Pittsburgh,
has
– Pittsburgh as well?
Yeah, Pittsburgh as well. But, you know, overall, you know, Pittsburgh hasn't done any better than the Patriots over the last 10 years. You know,
oh, no. The success, but it's the coaching side more than I think the talent side that some people might be arguing.
So what you're saying is if Belichick was the coach of Baltimore, they'd be better than they are now?
Probably. Although I think the Harbaughs are pretty good.
You know, but I just think that it's really hard because the draft and it's such an inexact science. It's really hard.
Now, that's what I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think my issue isn't so much with the draft because I agree. It is. It's such an inexact science. I mean, some of the draft picks we openly criticize right away and we're just questioning. But, I mean, who knows? If he hits, what if it was a success? Like an Aaron Hernandez pickup late in the draft, which panned out until, I mean, he turned into a lunatic, but I guess my bigger issue, and I think you guys talked about it recently, in terms of the management of the team, is like the big contracts we choose to give out.
Well, yep. So,
you know, the Kyle Arrington,
yep.
Jerome Mayo. I mean, even Wilfork. I love Wilfork. But, I mean, is he that worth that much of a percentage of your salary cap? Is that vital?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. You know, Arrington is a guy that as soon as that contract came out, everyone was around here a little bit, you know, taken aback by the amount. I think over the course of his contract, it's really not a deal breaker if you're making the right moves elsewhere. You know, we wouldn't be talking about Kyle Arrington's contract if the whole defensive backfield wasn't better as a whole. You know,
well, but
because Arrington would be doing what he's the job that he's expected to do and not put in roles that he's not as good at. And we'd be fine with Kyle Arrington. The problem with Kyle Arrington is he gets too exposed when other guys get hurt.
But he gets paid very well.
He does. Yeah.
And that's kind of the issue. I mean, you look at Kyle Arrington. I mean, I'll give you some homage. McCurdy.
Yeah.
He's coming up.
Yep.
And I think we're pretty sure he's going to get a decent contract.
Yep.
And is he that good? Is it that what, you know, I mean, I think Andy brought it up. I mean, you buy the middling guys you paid good money for them. And is that the same thing as buying a you know, for those three guys, you could have bought a huge stud.
Yeah, but I don't really see, you know, I don't really see Kyle Arrington's contract or probably the one they're going to give McCourty as inhibitive. It, you know, in other words, oh, because we gave Arrington that money, we couldn't do all the other stuff. I don't see those contracts of really being a problem. Now, Wilfork's a different matter. That was, you know, you paid Wilfork at the top of the league at his position. So that's a contract that could stop you from doing other things. But I don't see Arrington's contract or the one they might give McCourty as being that. But here's the thing you get with those guys. You get stability. You get a guy that you can count on.
This is your incognito comment, right? The stability, these are solid guys. I agree.
Well, the incognito, character-wise, is not a solid guy.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yes, absolutely. There is something to be said about that where, you know, whether it's character in the locker room or special teams, you know, contributions, you're getting more than just the position that you're paying for when you sign a guy like Arrington or McCourty. So you're getting more than just...
You're not getting that diva. You're not getting that job.
Yeah, it goes beyond the position that he plays, you know.
And
there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, and I agree. And so I have those complaints about Belichick, but I can't, in general, I'm very happy. I don't know why anyone would say we want to get rid of him.
When they say get rid of him, they mean, you know, he not being the final voice when it comes to personnel moves.
Yes, and I do kind of agree with that. I would like someone that could kind of oversee him in that respect.
Well, I don't know if it's going to oversee him, but you now have a new voice in the room in Mike Lombardi. Mike Lombardi traveled with the team to the combine, so, you know, for all intents and purposes, he must be on the team. He must be part of it now, and he comes in just the right time, just before the combine. So we assume he's going to, you know, he's going to give his opinions into, you know, who the Patriots draft and free agency and all that stuff. So maybe he will contribute to the thing, but at the end of the day, it's going to be Bill Belichick's decision. But
that's what I was just going to say. The point is, though, it all comes down to Belichick.
Sure it does.
He is in charge.
And I'm perfectly happy with that. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to I wouldn't trade that for anything. Like,
right.
You're right. It's been a great ride.
A lot of people say, when Pioli left, things went downhill. No, the last few years of Pioli, the drafts were disasters. They were terrible. They actually got a little bit better after he left. So I know Pioli and Belichick did not always see eye to eye. They said that a lot of times they would argue and then they'd get to the point where they just move on. You know, they'd go to the next guy. So it's not like, you know, Pioli was lockstep with Bill Belichick. But it didn't always work out then either. So, you know, we'll see. I think that, oh, by the way, as we speak, Brian, and thanks for the call, Brian. As I'm talking, the Patriots media relations just sent out a press release. Michael Lombardi joins Patriots as assistant to the coaching staff, which is interesting. Not the scouting staff, the coaching staff. So outside of the front office, Lombardi has held personal blah, blah, blah. It doesn't have anything more as to what his duties are. In the press release, but I think that's interesting. Mike Lombardi joins Patriots as assistant to the coaching staff. Interesting. I tell you, the Patriots, nobody manipulates titles and roles and responsibilities like the New England Patriots. So I'll be interested to get your thoughts on what that might mean. In terms of what his roles and responsibilities are. I can't imagine he still won't have input into personnel, right? That's what he is. I'm not even sure he ever – well, yeah, I think he played at Hofstra or something. I don't know, or coached at Hofstra. So, all right, we're going to take a break right now, 1:38. We still have a lot of phone calls coming in. We got Jamie in Houston, Mika in New Jersey, and Melvin in Tennessee. We'll get to you right after this.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks,
and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was, we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep, me too.
Which you couldn't call
today.
We
played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, "Oh, you guys are pussies playing that game."
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, "Oh, who's the pussy now?" So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came. You know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, "Say that again." I'm like, "Who's the pussy now?" And he punched me in the jaw. You know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
So he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you just because he said it twice doesn't mean it was okay.
And now. I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. I'm here until 2 o'clock, taking your calls and emails. Kevin's in the booth helping out. Paul and Andy are out in Indy. Paul called in earlier, so if you missed that, you want to check us out on the archives. And Erica had a little fender bender this morning, so it's going to take him a couple months to sort that out. More mental than physical damage there for Eric, I'm sure. So we're talking draft. We're talking combine. We're talking free agency. We're talking Joe Philbin in the Miami Dolphins situation. Lot of stuff going on, not the least of which is Jamie, who's in Houston and on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Jamie.
Hi, Freddie.
How you doing?
I'm enjoying the Jake Steele solo show here.
Okay, yep.
So, I called in late, and you just filled us in on the status of Grandpa Draft and everything. So, what are you guys most excited about? As far as our need for this year, I mean, I think the two most glaring needs that we need to fill is we got to have a genuine stud cover guy, cornerback, or a receiver. I mean, we need a stud receiver. I mean, there's lots of needs all over the place, but
I mean,
that's the way I see it. What's the consensus that you guys are feeling or getting?
I'm excited because not only is the draft deep, but I think that there's a really good free agency pool this year as well. And I think between the two, I think this should be a fairly active offseason for the Patriots. And I think you're going to see a lot of, you know, needs being addressed, and especially along the defensive line. I'm not so sure about free agency when it comes to the defensive backfield, but, the draft obviously has a bunch of guys, that I could see the Patriots looking at, where they're drafting. We talked about Dennard, but he's going to go high. But, there's Jason Verrett, the kid from TCU, E.J. Gaines out of Missouri. They're all, ranked up there for the cornerbacks. So I think the Patriots could look at any of those. And, you've got a lot of good safeties out there. I like Sean Parker out of Washington. And Deion Bailey, I'm not sure. I heard some things about him out of Southern Cal, but the point is, it's really deep when it comes to defensive backfield this year.
Yeah, are those guys on Andy and Paul's grocery list to talk to over the weekend?
Oh yeah, they're going to be not today because obviously today it's tight ends and linemen, but offensive linemen. But they'll be talking to all the top players. They're going to try to get it to as many as they can. And then I think the league gives the transcripts for all the others, so you have access to what everybody said.
Yeah. Well, good stuff. And then, you get the sense that they're going to kind of load up this year, trying to make another run like they did in 07.
Yeah.
And some of that fell to them that time around, but yeah, there's more opportunity.
I'm not sure loading up is the word I would use, but I think that you're going to see some really, additions where everybody nods their head and says, okay, yeah, good. Not guys that, who the hell is he? Type of additions. I think you're going to see some household names come into the team and at various positions.
All right. Well, good stuff. Thank you, Freddie. And you guys take care. Go Pats.
All right, Jamie in Houston. Let's see. Mika is in New Jersey. And Mika, you were a boy or a girl?
Micah.
Oh, Micah. I'm sorry. You want to talk salary cap increase? What do you got?
Yeah, I just read that this morning that they're projecting the salary cap around $130 million, which is a little bit more than at least I thought it would be, because it seemed like it was a surprise to everybody. I just wanted to know how you felt that the Patriots might feel like use a little bit more room now that, kind of relieves a little pressure, in my opinion.
Yep, $130 million is what they say. It represents about a 5% increase. It hasn't been officially announced yet, and in fact, the NFLPA has said that they're not sure that that exactly is going to be the case. But
Yeah, maybe so it's not time to get excited yet.
Right. Yeah. But usually when those early numbers come out, they usually stay true. Every year when they say what the increase will be, it's usually about that. So you can probably count on it being around $130 million. And like
that
I said,
good.
That's,
I mean,
yeah, that's about a 5% increase. So you get a little bit of extra money. But I think for the Patriots, it's still going to have to figure out ways to open up, free up more money, you know, by redoing Will Fork or, you know, something like that. So they're still going to have to be creative in creating more flexibility for themselves. And, of course, you got the big cap hit looming from Hernandez. And I'm not sure they're going to be able to resolve that for this calendar year.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah. All right, I just figured I'd ask because it seems – I felt a little happy when I read that. I was like, oh, cool. Makes a little bit more – you know, things a little bit more easy, but
yeah, but it does for every team too. So you know, everybody gets that.
But,
yeah,
but I'm a Patriots fan, so I
right.
You know, I only get excited about them. All right, so thanks for your time, man. And by the way, True Detective, is like a masterpiece of television.
It really is. It really is. It's I'm hooked, and I know there's only three episodes left, but I can't wait to see what happens.
So good. All right, man. Take care. Thanks
all right, Micah. Micah's in New Jersey, and we'll go down to Tennessee with Melvin. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, Britt?
How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Good.
I'm going to get kind of straight to the point. I got to head back on in to work. But unfortunately, the same mistake I could see possibly being made here, that I feel like that Bill sometimes wants to, his stubbornness kind of kicks in. And, like, paying people like, you know, Arrington, who I thought has been some of the problem that we're allowing so many yards per year on defense and can't get off the field on third down, which is our Achilles heel. It's been a problem. I feel that sometimes, you know, that you have to make those, you have to make changes. And that's kind of his downfall. And I don't want that to be now somewhat, I see it transcending over to McCourty. I like McCourty. I like Arrington, to be honest. But you kind of paying these people to play football at a high level. And McCourty was terrible, I think. This especially in the postseason, playing safety, he was constantly, you know, he just was not looking good. Mm-hmm. And I can't keep giving him that excuse for him being the first round and all this stuff. Bill's trying to make him into something. Put him at cornerback. That wasn't working. Put him at safety. I mean, you're just allowing long plays that we can't have.
Yep.
And I just don't want to see him continuously make those decisions. So whatever, that's definitely not saying get rid of him as a coach, but he definitely needs somebody to be in his ear to kind of help direct the team. He has a lot of responsibility, there's no doubt. So I would just like to see some of that responsibility spread because sometimes you just need that change. Stability, although you like the guy and everything, at times it's not always good.
Yeah.
And we have to have stability. We're always last in yards, seems like. We're always, you know, that isn't good stability.
Right.
And yards, you can't get out the field on third down. So whatever you feel like. And they're making a lot of changes here. And I feel like I think they're trying to make them, or they think that they can handle it in-house. But it's really not happening, man. And to leave walks this offseason, I would be very, very, very upset.
Yeah.
I think that you need to – that's the one stable thing that I think when he plays and he's healthy, he's good.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, if Tlaib leaves, then they better have a backup plan because that's going to be a huge – void to fill. We saw it every time he wasn't on the field that it affects everybody. But getting back to McCourty, you know, I understand where people are, what they're talking about with him. He certainly did not live up to where he was drafted, okay? You don't draft a safety of his ability in the first round. And obviously they didn't do that. They drafted him thinking he was going to be a corner, and it just hasn't worked out. So he became a safety. You know, still where he was drafted, it doesn't equal the value that he's given to the Patriots right now. But that being said, forget about where he was drafted at this point. That's done. That's history. What is he right now to this team? You know, so you look at 2013, and I agree with Melvin. It probably wasn't that great a year for him. But, you know, football is such a tough game to put in context, and how much of it was McCourty and how much of it was just the upheaval from week to week in the secondary because of injuries? You know, and how worse would it have been if McCourty hadn't been back there bringing some, continuity and, communication and, solidifying it back there, at least being that one constant. How worse would it have been with the injuries if McCourty hadn't been back there? We'll never know that. We it's impossible to say. But if they re-sign McCourty, and I know he's coming up, it's not something they have to do right away, but I got to believe that the contract that they give him won't be a bank breaker, it'll be something manageable for the Patriots that won't stop them from doing the other things they need to do. And I think, again, a guy like McCourty does things beyond his position, in the locker room, on special teams. There's no doubt of the contribution that he makes on special teams. That's worth something in the NFL. Every time, we start talking about free agency and draft, we forget about special teams. But then during the season, how many games are, decided by a special teams play here or there? And, and then we're talking about it, but then we forget about it in times like these. You can't forget about it. The Patriots don't forget about it. They really value those guys that can contribute on special. And McCourty's one of them. And, so maybe you get a little bit more of a bump in the salary that you get offered because of that. And, again, I don't think what they pay McCourty, when they get around to doing it, will stop them from doing the other things they need to do. I'm not saying the Patriots are perfect and that they don't screw up. They certainly do. Just look at the people they've drafted in the secondary over the last 5 years. And that tells you the whole story that, maybe they're looking, maybe they're outsmarting themselves and looking for that guy that's too well-rounded, too, quote unquote coachable. And they're not just simply taking the best athlete there, the best guy at the position at the draft. They have not been good drafting in the secondary. Dennard, it's still, the jury's still out on him. When he's not hurt, he looks pretty good to me. I think, a healthy Dennard and a healthy Tlaib, I'm okay with that. I really am. That's why I said before, I'm okay with this defense going into 2014 as a foundation. We need to build on it. We need to add depth to the defensive line. We need a pass rusher, probably through free agency, and then I wouldn't count out drafting one as well. And I think we need more depth in the secondary. But I like the foundation we have, assuming guys come back healthy, assuming Wilfork comes back, assuming Mayo comes back, Kelly. I like that foundation. And notice I didn't mention Armin Armstead. He's not in the mix for me, despite what anyone else says. I'm not even counting on him for 2014. If he comes in, that's gravy. But the guys that we know of, the guys that have a track record, if they come back healthy, I believe the Patriots have a good defensive foundation on which to build. So you add your depth on defense with a guy who can get after the quarterback. You add some depth in the secondary, and I think you're going to have a good defense, and I think you would have had a good defense in 2013 had guys not got, injured the way they did. I'm optimistic about that. So, and then offense is a whole nother discussion, but right now we're talking about defense. Another Christian writes in. He says, a football question. We usually hear that Belichick likes his outside linebackers 6'4 and running a 4'6. I understand that's a 3'4 outside linebacker. What are the comparable measurables for a 4'3 outside linebacker and a 4'3 defensive end? Well, for a 4'3 outside linebacker, a lot of times, they can play defensive end, obviously. They'll put their hand in the dirt. But a 4'3 defensive end is usually a lot taller, a lot bigger, a lot lankier because they're not asked to plug, holes the way you would in a 3-4 and play the run as much as in a 3-4. So, you're certainly your end in a 3-4 is a lot stouter and bigger than in a 4-3. Richard Seymour was the prototypical 3-4 defensive end. Really a tackle. But, this is a guy that could play the run. He could get after the quarterback. He had height. He had size, 300-plus pounds. And he could move at that size. He was a guy that other teams, you know, had a game plan around, Richard Seymour. So he's your prototypical end in a 3-4. You know, the end in a 4-3 prototypically is, you know, a guy like Michael Strahan, more or less, where, you know, he is more like 6'4", 6'5". Jason Taylor, you know, a little bit smaller than Strahan, but faster. So he makes up for, you know, the lack of girth in speed. You know, just as tall as Strahan, but maybe not as, as big as Strahan was. You know, the outside linebacker in the 3-4, you know, really has to be a guy that is really versatile in terms of run and pass, you know, and, you know, can plug holes on, you know, against the run, but also cover guys. And, you know, so usually you don't get a guy that's too big. You know, there were exceptions to the rules. The Steelers did a good job in the past of drafting linebackers for the 3-4 that were, you know, bigger than the normal. Levant Kirkwood, for example, was like 280 pounds but could move. But those guys are rare. Those guys are rare. Let's see. Jonathan has a draft question. If the Patriots had the first pick in the draft and could not trade it, who do you think they would take? And if it were up to you, who would you take? Well, I mean, I don't know. It's a good question. You know, I think we haven't done all the scouting in terms of looking at the film yet and seeing all what the experts are saying. Jason Morrow is a guy that a lot of the experts are saying the Patriots could take and could be where the Patriots are picking. The tight end, but I think there's a lot of guys that the Patriots could take. And really, I wouldn't rule out any position. You know, I wouldn't even rule out quarterback if there was a guy that the Patriots love. Let's say the Patriots like Teddy Bridgewater, and they just love him. You know, they've looked at everything he's done at Louisville. They just love this guy, and they have no thought that he's going to drop to where they're picking at, like 29, I think they're at. But all of a sudden he does, for whatever reason. I wouldn't rule them out taking him. But they have to have loved him the way I'm talking about, okay? But I wouldn't rule that out. After that, any position like that, if they really like the guy, I don't think there's a position on a football field that they wouldn't take at 29. I really don't. It just comes to who the player is. If everything is being equal, and let's say every position is available and they value every guy at each position the same way, I'd probably say it's going to be someone on the defensive line. If I had a guess, it's going to be someone on the defensive line. And then after that, probably quarterback. You know, but a lot of people disagree. They think tight end is a much bigger need than those two. But my point is that, you know, I wouldn't rule anything out as far as position or player. I really wouldn't. Joe says that there's a really good Nick Caserio pre-draft conference available from April 14th, 2011 in the Patriots archives, where he explains the Patriots rating system for the draft. Maybe I kind of recall that, but if you guys want to look it up, it's from April 14th, 2011. I'm sure it's in the Patriots archive somewhere. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of Patriots Football Weekly for PFW in Progress. Thanks for hanging in with me. It wasn't lonely at all. A lot of calls, a lot of emails, a lot of emails I didn't get to. So we'll be back Tuesday. The guys will be back from Indy, so we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.